Okay, welcome back to Cross the Border. And we're going to continue in Psalm here. In the Psalms, we're in, where did we left off here? Yes, the man. What man is he that feareth? All right, we'll go back to chapter 25 and verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sakes. O Yahuwah, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of Yahuwah are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Yes, I was talking about his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, Yahuwah, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord, or of Yahuwah, is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Yes, that's where we left off. The psalmist continues, mine eyes are ever toward Yahuwah, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Keep your eyes on him, and he'll pluck your feet out of the net. And I'll tell you, there are plenty of nets out there. They're all around the, everywhere you look. Most people don't recognize the nets as what they are. As a matter of fact, when you grow up in the world systems and you go to the public schools and you assist schools, and you go to the corporate churches, they teach you how to walk into the nets. And they teach you how to just wrap the nets around you and how comforting they are and how we should all do those things that the Bible teaches against, actually. We're to forget none of his benefits, not walk into the benefit system of this world and be trapped in their net and everything that comes with it. That's just one example. There are many nets out there. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distress. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with a cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Chapter 26 and verse 1, a psalm of David. Judge me, O Yahuwah, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in Yahuwah. Therefore, I shall not slide. And perhaps that's a reference to backsliding. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, and try my reins in my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in my truth. I don't know how many horse people there are out there, but to prove me, he says, try my reins and my heart. In other words, steer me whatever way you want me to go, and see whether I will go that way or not. Try me. Try my reins and my heart, and that we could be like a good horse. I have several horses out here on the ranch here in the undisclosed location of the Southern Sierra foothills and on the land designated California, and we have a few horses here. All of them were gifts. We couldn't afford them if we had to buy them, but we have them, and the Heavenly Father, he provides food for them too. Got three horses here. I got a Mustang, an old fellow. He's about 20 years old, and just a real easy going. His reins are easy. He responds well. He loves children. You get little children around him. He's got his muzzle right down there next to him. And he's watching them and guarding them. He's going to make sure that they're not going to get hurt around him. He's a good old horse, I'll tell you. And then I have about a 15-year-old pony. And she's a brat, but very affectionate, very sweet. And, you know, she's about the size that she fits right under your armpit and you can hug her. And she's just beautiful, got pretty eyes. She's just a beautiful pony, but she is a brat. And you got to be careful with her because she's dumb. Well, all horses are dumb, really. They can hurt you without meaning to hurt you. And if they're cantankerous or brattish, like, well, most ponies are, as any horse people know, that you have to be careful around them and know how they're going to act, because you have to be smarter than the horse. And then I got a 4-year-old Appy mare, and she is big, and she's hardly tamed at all. And if you tried her reins, you would have a little trouble. You put a halter on her and a lead rope, and you have trouble with her. So as far as before my Heavenly Father, I would rather be like that old fellow, that Mustang, who would respond well to him, than like that Appy mare, or even that stubborn pony. Of course, I'd probably think maybe I'm somewhere between that stubborn little pony and that wise old Mustang that I have. That's what I get out of this. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. A dissembler, that's an interesting word. Alam, to veil from sight, that is to conceal, to blind, to hide, to those who work in secret. So there we go. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency. I will compass thine altar, O Yahuwah, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord Yahuwah, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with the sinners. And I love this. It's just beautifully poetic. I wish I could do it justice. Just the beauty. And that's one thing I do love about the King James Version, is just the poetic beauty of it. I will wash mine hands in innocency. And I like this, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving. Do you have a voice of thanksgiving? You know, I hate the complainers all day long. They find something wrong with everything. You don't even want to be around with them. You know, everything's got to find something wrong. It's called pride. They have a real problem with pride. So they have to judge everything. They have to find something wrong with everything because they're lifting themselves up to judge everything. No, let's publish. He says that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. And I know that our Heavenly Father hates a complainer. And you parents out there, you know, when your children complain, you just know how you hate it. And you do. And then you can identify with the Heavenly Father. Then you have to examine yourself and say, am I a complainer? Judge all the words that come out of your own mouths. When you see something in someone else that you don't like, and especially your own children, because most of the time they're just being, you know, little mirrors. Yes, that's right. They're just doing what you do. And a lot of times, you know, now I see, you know, and I have to question, where is that coming from? So I examine myself. Well, it's not coming from me. So when you see things going on, you gotta, you might have to do a little investigation to find out where they're coming from when you see things in your children. All of us as parents, we should be concerned, and we should shelter our children even from other children. That's why the public school system is so dangerous, and so many Christians lose their children to the world because they turn them over to the public school. And you know that hour at church every Sunday can't compete. And I'll tell you, parents, to send your, you know, I heard on somewhere that some Christians wrote a book and basically saying it's okay to send your children to public school. And they told how they did it and how they kept their children from the evil influence of the public school while they sent them there. Well, in their book, they spent probably more time undoing the influence of evil than you would just by keeping them home and homeschooling them. Most parents don't have enough energy to do that. That's a lot of extra work. It would take less energy just to homeschool them yourself. That's right. So that's kind of foolish. And the reality is that most parents can't do that. That most parents just need to homeschool their children, which will force them into to providing a minimum or an adequate amount of education. It will force them to be good parents if they take the responsibility upon themselves out of a conviction from our Heavenly Father, rather than giving them an excuse because you're extraordinary and can put in twice as much effort as it would take to actually homeschool them into saving them from the bad influences of the world. Well, I hope that works out good for those people that are proposing that, but I propose, yes, everyone who loves God and who loves their children need to remove their children from public school system and need to homeschool them. And it will bring you and your children closer together. You will be able to experience what your Heavenly Father really wanted for you and your children. Also, another thing you will notice is that homeschooled children are somewhat unusual. That's right. They develop very unique personalities, you know, because they don't fall into that cookie cutter every day. You know, you ever see a school of fish? You notice how they all swim together and they all act alike? Well, that's what school is. It's where you're all schooled together. The bell rings, all the little fishies get up out of their desks and they swim to the next, you know, the next class. It's like a big aquarium. That's what the school building is like. It's like, so really homeschool is a misnomer if you use the definition of school. Yes, because you're being schooled. That means you're being conformed to the pack. You know, of course, the pack of fish, the school of fish. But so homeschool, you know, plenty of good curriculums out there. You can even find them free on the internet for homeschooling. Teach your children how to read, how to write, you know, teach them arithmetic. And if you get some history texts, you know, learn some real history so you don't teach them all the lies in the history books. Even the Christian curriculums are brainwashing, statist, state-worshipping texts. I have them, so I go through them with my daughter, and I teach her the real history, and I have real history books, too. So, but I also have bought a curriculum, so I go through it with her. We just skip a lot of it, you know, all of the how to be a good, obedient little statist parts. We skip all those, and then we revise all of the bad history as we go through it. But you'll find your children are a sponge, and they will look up to you, and they will have a godly reverence for their parents, that godly reverence that they're supposed to have for their parents if you homeschool them, rather than the hatred for parents and the disrespect for parents that they will learn in the public school system. And all of these poor fools out there that are sending their children to the public fool system, wondering what happened. What happened to my children? The children that love me know so much. And then they just accept it. Oh, it's just a rebellious phase. Oh, all teenagers do. Yes, all public fooled teenagers do it. It's a phase if you're public fooled. Can't emphasize the importance enough out there, parents. If you got two parents working, well, you know what? Save your money, because the second parent is working mainly 90%, 80 to 90% of what the second parent is working for is to sustain the lifestyle of a two working parent family. A mother would do just as well, or the father would do just as well to stay home. One of the parents would do just as well to stay at home and learn how to save money by doing a lot of things that they could do for themselves. Plus they would save the money of the extra costs for child care. It all adds up. The extra costs for the extra food costs, the extra traveling expense costs, the extra licensing and professional fees costs, and the extra taxes that you have to pay. Like I said, 80 to 90% of the money earned by the second parent working is swallowed up by virtue of the second parent working. And the 20% gain that you have, well, you count the cost of the loss of your children, because you're going to lose them. Eventually, they'll get to the stage where, oh, it's just a phase. It's just a rebellious phase that all public fooled teenagers go through. So you'll lose your children. That's the worst thing. But that 20%, you can make it up. You can make up for it by doing things yourself and by saving money on other things that you don't have time to save money on. You know, just think about it logically. The illusion is, of course, the total amount of the money that, you know, income. But the reality is the cost of that extra income is going to swallow most of it up. And the reality is you could save a lot of money by working hard at it. Because if you don't have another job, well, you can work hard at it. And then truly, you know, living and walking by faith and trusting in the Heavenly Father and believing His Word. He said, you know, Yahshua, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And the all these things that will be added to you, He of course was referring to housing, food, clothing, automobile, travel expense, all of the things that you need for your life, whatever that life may be, in whatever time or situation you're living in. He knows what you have need of, and He said He would provide for you if you seek first His kingdom. And why did He give us children? Why does a man and woman come together? That they may seek a godly seed. So if you're turning your children over to pagans to train, where's the godly seed? How are you seeking first the kingdom of God? By destroying your own children and turning them over to pagans to be trained up in the kingdom of darkness. He says, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers. And that's what the public fool system. It is the congregation of evildoers. What are they going to teach your children? Now in the public schools, now in California? Oh, it's okay to be gay. You know, Heather has two mommies and all of that. Yes, now a man and a woman can get married. Oh, wait a minute. Did they overturn that? Or are they going to overturn it again? Well, we can see where it's going. You know, we can see what's going on, especially with the abomination that we have in the government today. I will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, Yahuwah, that I might publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. I have loved thy habitation of thy house, the place where thine honor dwelleth. Do you love the place where his honor dwelleth? And you know, that's why you listen to this program, because this is the place where his honor dwells. I am here to honor him. I want my life to honor him. I want the lives of my children and my grandchildren to honor him. So gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless Yahuwah. Psalm chapter 27, verse 1, a psalm of David. Yahuwah, the Lord, is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahuwah is my strength, is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, one thing have I desired of Yahuwah, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Yahuwah all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yahuwah, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall I hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy, and I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto Yahuwah. Hear, O Yahuwah, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek ye my face, my heart said, unto thee, thy face, Yahuwah, will I seek. That's all the time we have for this hour. Stay tuned for more and the news.